again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. With so many things going on in our world and so many negative events, negative reports, it is so good today once again to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will stay tuned to this broadcast. I believe that the Lord will speak from His holy book, the Bible, something by His Holy Spirit that will just find a target in your heart today. Something that will instruct us, and something that will inspire us, and something that will lift us up in Jesus today. It's just a privilege to be able, in a world full of so many negative happenings, to bring the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to bring a scripture to you today out of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, and the third in the series of how to have a truly happy and blessed life. And this is an important message because when you get the eternal things settled with God, then all of these temporal things settle themselves as well. So we're just so grateful today for our listeners who are returning to this broadcast that listen there in Madison in North Florida. We're glad for you that listen by computer anywhere in the United States and anywhere in the world, because WMAF streams by the World Wide Web. Anyone with a computer anywhere can listen to WMAF, listen to the fine format, classic country, classic gospel, and classic preaching. And so we're just so happy. Amen. I am glad to be old school simply because there's no new school. Praise God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We would like to invite you to come to our website. You'd like to see our statement of faith, understand something about our background, download any sermons from our live services. Many, many are posted there. And also to download the most recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. It's all for free. There's no follow-up. We don't get no spam comes. We don't get your IP number. You're welcome to come and browse around. Just type in Pastor Robert Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E, or type in T-H-C-O-G, and take you to the Holy Church of God homepage. There's one in Texas. That's not us. We're the one in Tampa. This broadcast originates in Tampa, Florida, where I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God for, it'll be 36 years in January. Now I identify myself as pastor evangelist because of radio and media outreach. So we're just so grateful to be wearing two hats today for the Lord, to do the work of an evangelist. And that's what we intend to do here today. If you have your Bible and you're interested in living a truly happy and fulfilled life, let's get some instructions from the designer himself, the creator himself. God knew exactly what it would take to give us a happy and fulfilled life and a happy ever after. Praise God. Amen. And we need that. We need His instructions because so many people are telling us so many things, and there is an enemy of your soul who will bring you something that looks good, but the end thereof is the way of destruction and death. Jesus doesn't play games with us. What He tells us is absolute truth. And if applied to our life through obedience to the Word of God, I'm telling you, it works. It works. It can't fail because it is the ultimate truth, because it comes from God Himself. So let's go to God's book today and read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, on the theme of how to have a truly and blessed and happy life. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days." You know, that's all I need to be happy, friend. That's all I need to be happy. And it isn't based on happenings. It is based on something that God promises. Listen to the rest of it. "For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." It simply means being perfectly open and honest, that word guile. Being transparent, not hiding an ulterior motive or hiding anything in our heart, but being completely forthright and open with the Lord. "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, we talked about this based on David's wonderful repentance psalm in Psalm 32. And we read from that psalm. And we got a good look through that psalm at David's theology. He laid out his understanding that though we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we've lost that fellowship relationship that can bring true fulfillment and happiness, we can have it back. We can repent. Sins can be forgiven. That is a healthy theological statement today. Sin can be forgiven. David had a very healthy theology of forgiveness. And then last week, we talked about David's experience, the misery of concealed sin, when he held it in and he didn't repent of it. And today we're going to continue part of that, but more so in his advice. What does he say to us out of his own personal experience? But I'm going to read from this great Psalm 32. And it's not about people who have never sinned, but people who have come before God in total honesty and repentance. And listen to the blessing that is offered here and the instruction. Psalm 32:1 begins this way. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Now these words, capital S-E-L-A-H, many scholars believe if it was a musical situation, it would be a pause in the music, a moment of a pause in the composition. But here in Scripture, there is a pause before going. These things are so important to get. David puts the Selah there. Stop and think about it. Sit down and quietly contemplate this. Let it sink in. Praise the Lord. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly, verse 6, pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they will not come nigh him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. There's that word again. Think about this. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in by bit and bridle, lest they come near thee, literally, lest they turn around and bite thee. Verse 10 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, ye that are upright in heart. David's theology was, sin can be forgiven. David's experience was that when he held it in, and until he repented, he was out of fellowship with God. There was a broken link between him and his God, and there was an emptiness in his heart because of that broken fellowship. Did it ever occur to you today that the emptiness in your heart today, amen, is a result of a broken relationship with God? And oh, how full life can be and meaningful it will be if that broken relationship is restored. How meaningful it is when David says the simple words, he restoreth my soul. Praise God. He talked about the misery of concealed sin in his experience. He talked about his moisture turning to drought, his bones waxing old all day long. He talked about what happened when he became so depressed he could hardly stand life. And then he talked about the relief of confessed sin. What a wonderful, wonderful time in the human heart when the burden of guilt and shame is lifted and the broken relationship with God is restored. I got to tell you again this week, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. I still am amazed and I'm taken back that so many people have such an aversion to the message of repentance. Friend, repentance means that we can be restored and we can be forgiven and we can have a relationship with God that His eyes are on the righteous for good and His ears are open to our cry. Oh, there's nothing like laying your head down at night with perfect peace reigning in your heart, that if you drew your last breath, you would get God's glad acceptance into His presence. And there's nothing like living your life knowing that that link between you and God is not broken by sin, but sin forgiven has restored. That bridge is not out. That bridge between us and God is open for an interchange and an intercourse between us and God where we have a relationship with Him of fellowship and sweet, satisfying fulfillment. Praise the Lord. What a relief it is. There used to be a commercial that said, oh, what a relief it is. And something about headache pain going away. And I know that feeling. What a relief it is when you can just lay your head down without that throbbing headache. But friend, there's a relief far greater than that. Oh, what a relief it was when David confessed his sin and experienced God's forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, David enjoys, again, his relationship with God. He doesn't just talk about the depression that unconfessed sin brings. He talks about the joy of the forgiveness of sin. Christians are forgiven. Hallelujah. That's why there's a reason for joy in all the circumstances of life. If you base happiness on happenings, you're not going to be happy very much, because Jesus taught us something that everyone is experiencing. There's no denying that in this fallen world, in these faulty bodies, Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But He says, be of good cheer in the next statement, for I have overcome the world. Praise God. When God is with you to take you through the waters, you know, He didn't promise to keep us from trials. He promised to take us through. And He said, when you go through the fire, it won't kindle on thee, because I'm with thee. When thou walkest through the waters, they won't overflow thee, for I am with thee. What a privilege and a joy it is to have that kind of relationship with God. So now in verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 32, David can tell us about the joy of forgiven sin. David can enjoy his relationship with God. And what a difference it makes. In verse 7, he can again experience God's protecting arms around him rather than His hand pushing him away. Verse 8 is particularly interesting because the word "you" in this verse is the singular "you." Verse 9 is in the plural and is clearly advice directed at the reader, but verse 8 is aimed at David himself, and God is promising to restore David to intimacy with Him. God says to David, who is talking about the joy of repentance, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you and I will watch over you. I'll guide you with my eye. David can once again enjoy the depth of relationship with God. His sin is dealt with. It is forgiven and covered and paid for. These particular sins need never again come between David and his God. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. God said He would cast our sins away from us if we truly repent, as far as the east is from the west. And then He said, your sin I will remember no more. And friend, if God has forgiven and forgotten your sin, then you can actually forgive yourself and forget about it. Paul said, forgetting those things. And I believe some of those sins is part of that. There's a lot to that. But part of what Paul was talking about is the sins of the past that have been forgiven, that are now under the precious cleansing blood of Jesus. You know what Paul says? He says, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Friends, you can't press on if you're looking back. If something is holding you back, if you know something is unrepentant, repent of it. Get that thing out of the devil's hands to condemn you with and into God's hands so He can forgive you for it. And then don't think about it anymore. Don't look back anymore. Look forward to the coming of Jesus. Look forward, amen, to the day when we stand in His presence uncondemned because our sin is forgiven. Praise the Lord. So we see David finding the joy of forgiveness. So let's now look at his advice. We've looked at his theology, his experience. Now look at the advice he gives you and me. We find him addressing the reader in three places, verse 6, verse 9, and verse 11. Verse 6 says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh to him." When God says He's going to keep you from trouble, He's not talking about keeping you from trials, which we certainly know brings trouble to our life. He means, I'm going to keep you inwardly from trouble. I'm going to keep your heart from being so troubled that you lose my peace when the trials come. I'm going to keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me, the scripture said in the book of Isaiah. Praise God. So he literally says in his first piece of advice that sin is to be confessed urgently. Seek God while He may be found. We must not take forgiveness for granted, friend. Forgiveness is available now, but it will not always be so. One day the judgment will come, and for those who deliberately harbor unconfessed sin and rebellion against God, it will be forever too late. But there's another sense in which God might become unfindable for us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, we are very strongly warned. Listen to this. "But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The point is that unconfessed sin can have a hardened effect upon our heart. The longer we are out of relationship with God, the less we're inclined to come to Him. And the more we would turn to the world's numerous but ineffective remedies for misery. There are people today that are addicted to the world's remedy for misery. Drugs and alcohol. And what destruction it brings to the life. I remember, and maybe some of you may be able to relate to this, but I remember David Wilkerson telling of a young man that came to Teen Challenge hopelessly, helplessly addicted to drugs. And by the way, when I use the word hopeless, in and of himself, it was hopeless. He was so deeply addicted, but there's nothing impossible with God. And friend, if you put your trust in the God with whom there is nothing impossible, the scripture goes on to say, "And there is nothing impossible to him that believeth." Praise the Lord. There's deliverance in Jesus today. I want to bring you a message of hope, but this young man did not make that discovery yet. And he came to Teen Challenge terribly, deeply addicted to drugs. And he told his story this way, and listen to it carefully. Because no one who goes down that road to drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sees the end result of that road, or they would never take one step on it. And he said, "You know, it was I met this beautiful, happy, fun-filled monkey that was so much fun to play with. And I enjoyed playing with this playful monkey. It just brought such joy and happiness, seemingly." And he said the monkey was so much fun that I asked the monkey to sit up on my shoulders. I want him to just stay with me as my pet. And the monkey gladly climbed up on my back and sat upon my shoulders. And I began to feed the monkey and take care of it. And the monkey began to grow and grow and grow and grow. And ask for more and more food and demand more and more food. And he said, one day I decided I can't carry this huge beast on my back anymore. This little monkey has now become a mighty gorilla. I don't want this on my back anymore. And he said, I reached up to grab it and throw it off. But it was stronger than I was. And I found that I couldn't budge it. A monkey on my back is a metaphor for something that we're addicted to that we can't shake. And it begins in fun. You know, a lot of people get addicted through recreational drugs and recreational drinking. But once the addiction is there, ask anyone who is addicted and they will tell you it's not fun being addicted to alcohol. It's not fun being addicted to drugs. Friend, I believe that we need to clearly understand what God is offering us through repentance and forgiveness. He doesn't just forgive our sin, He delivers our soul. What a gracious God that we serve. Amen. He not only forgives the transgression of our sin, but He forgives us and changes something on the inside of us. He gives us a new bent toward righteousness. If you think you're going to get right with God and earn forgiveness, you're wrong. You've got to come to God just like you are. But if you come like you are and with all of your hang-ups and habits, but you want sincerely to change those sinful practices, God will forgive your sin. God will come into your life by His Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus. And God begins to change us, friend, from the inside out. One of the great changes He makes, amen, is that He fulfills those deep longings of our soul that we are trying to fulfill through sinful practices. His peace alone settles so many of the great issues in our life. When the human heart is settled, when we are fulfilled within, there's no tension between us and our God any longer, when we're in fellowship with Him, oh, what a difference. Oh, what a relief it is. Reading the biographies of great Christians of the past, we find time and time again that immediate confession is by far the most helpful way to deal with sin. Just as one example, the great Scottish preacher Robert Murray McShane wrote in his journal, listen, this is a look at his personal life, this great preacher and proclaimer of the gospel. He said, and I quote, I am persuaded that I ought to confess my sin more. I think I ought to confess sin the moment I see it to be sin. Whether I'm in company or in study or even preaching, the soul ought to cast a glance of abhorrence at the sin. I think I ought at certain times of the day, my best time, say after breakfast or after tea, to confess solemnly the sins of the previous hours and to seek their complete remission. Praise God. What an honest man. What an honest man. The second piece of advice David gives us is in verse 9. Confess willingly, not just urgently, but also willingly. Do not be like the horse, he says, or the mule, which hath no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, lest they come near you or turning by you. In other words, don't be stubborn. Don't be like David initially was. David wants to spare us the agony of unconfession that he went through. God disciplined David with the misery of a broken relationship in order to bring him back to the right path. So he says to us, don't wait for the discipline. Come willingly to God. Which brings us to David's last piece of advice in verse 11. He says, and after you've done this, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. If we brought our sins to God, He declares us righteous and upright in heart. Our confessed sin is gone. It's dealt with, and we need to never be troubled by it again. Someone said, the next time the devil accuses you of sin, You plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You declare to Him the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ. You declare your sin forgiven so that the accuser doesn't try to place the guilt back on one whom God has set free. In other words, the next time the devil reminds you of where you've been, you just remind him of where he's going. And you serve God, hallelujah, with gladness and with joy. The Bible said, amen, that when God forgives us, there's no one that can bring an accusation against us. The highest court in the land and the greatest judge has declared us not guilty in His sight when we repent. That's why I encourage people to do real business with God. Amen and amen and amen. And then be glad. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. If we brought our sins to God, He declares us righteous. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's in a sentence that says, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Enjoy life. He that would love life, our beginning scripture states, and see good days. And here he's telling the people that were weeping just moments before in brokenness because of their sin when they truly repented. He said, it's time to celebrate. It's time to eat the fat. Drink the sweet. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. When that relationship was restored with God, God didn't want them to do penance. He didn't want them to go around broken for days or months. He didn't want them pining away over their sins of the past, but He wanted them rejoicing that their sins were forgiven. No wonder David said, blessed, happy to be envied is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. And friend of mine, right there, right where you are today, you can confess your sin before the Lord and repent of it. Receive Jesus as your Savior if you're not a Christian. And right now, have a brand new clean slate. You say, Pastor, that's not fair. There's too many sins accrued against me. Too many things that I've done. It's not too many for the blood of Jesus to cover. Not too many for the God who sent His Son to die for us to cancel. God rejoices in forgiving and pardoning. That's what makes Him such a wonderful God, and that's what makes grace so absolutely amazing today. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you and me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but praise God, now I see. If you're a Christian today, and you have a sin that you know is there, and you haven't done business with God, and you're in a church service, you're going through the motions of worship, but you're really not in tune with God. You're out of sync with God, and you want it back. Oh, go to Him. Go to Him today. Tell Him that you're sorry. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to give you grace and strength to overcome whatever weakness it is, wherever the enemy has found an inroad in your life, and God will abundantly pardon you. The Holy Spirit will rise up within you. You won't fight this battle alone. You'll fight it with God's strength, and you'll win it. And today, if you're addicted to alcohol, drugs, something bigger than you, you feel like you're hopelessly bound because it's bigger and stronger than you, I declare unto you by the Word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can go free today. You know what Jesus said to you and to me? He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, when He began His public ministry. For He hath anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And whatever bondage is in your life that has bruised you, Jesus said, I'll break that yoke. And I'll heal those wounds. And I'll give you a brand new start and a brand new life. Well, friend, our time is gone, but we love you today. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.